VoiceRepublic.com, home to the spoken word.
Wir am Feierabend. Der Podcast.
Hallo zusammen bei Wir am Feierabend, this time in English, because I have my friend here.
Hello. Hey there, I'm Will. I'm drinking a glass of red wine and I'm very happy to be here with you, Daniela.
Yeah, thank you. So it's an English episode today, again. And yeah, we're sitting on the couch, had some dinner.
Very lovely dinner.
And tell us a bit more about you. How come that we know each other?
Well, I kind of ended up in Lisbon by accident, but it was a happy accident. And then even happier accident, I ran into Daniela in a hallway and guided her ever so carefully to her desk. And we got to know each other by sitting close to each other at work.
Yeah, so he's working in the Australian team. He's from Canada, actually, and I'm working in the German team. And the last episodes, I already told that I'm living here in Lisbon now, and I'm very happy that I met you.
Well, I'm happy to meet you, too.
Yeah. We thought about maybe talking about relationships today, and maybe also Tinder, which mm-hmm. I'm not an expert in. You're not that expert too, but maybe, yeah, we can just... I don't know.
Well, I feel we have both more expertise in long-distance relationships.
Yeah.
And you're an advocate, or you said you really thought it was possible if the love was strong enough to make it work. Yeah. And you've made it work at least in short periods of time, no?
Yeah.
So what's your secret?
I tell you my secret now. My boyfriend and me were together for 8 years, and now I'm here in Lisbon. He's living in Frankfurt, and I just have the opinion and the feeling that it always works when you really love each other, and the luck we have is that I'm okay with that and he's okay with that too, but I can totally understand when it's not that easy for everyone.
Right.
I don't have a secret, like I can't tell you why it is like that. I don't know. Or what do you want me to tell?
No, it's just that, like, I think a lot of people think that when you're not in the same physical space, or you're not going home together every night or often, or you're in physical space of other people, that it kind of separates you mentally or emotionally from the relationship. And I guess what I'm asking when I say what's your secret is, like, how do you mentally and emotionally stay in that relationship when you're not physically occupying the same space?
Mm-hmm. I think it's very, very nice when we see each other again to talk about everything what happened before. And I always made the experience that it's kind of annoying when you see each other every day.
Okay.
And talk about everything you experience.
Every little thing.
Every little thing. Of course, that can be nice too, but I think it's... Yeah.
Would you say you're a bit of a lone wolf?
Yeah, I have the feeling like it is a bit like that, because I know a lot of, like, my friends, they don't understand, and they just ask me, how can you do this? Mm. I always think I have to explain myself a bit, but yeah.
So you like your personal space and you enjoy it and you're independent, and so basically it works for you to have a buffer zone or to reconnect after time. It's not maybe better, but it works. Is it better?
I don't know yet, because we haven't lived together in these 8 years. But some people make jokes about, okay, but when you live together, then it might be a problem. But I don't know.
You're right.
I don't think so, but... What do you think about this?
So the longest long-distance relationship I had was this woman I met on Tinder, just to circle back there, on Tinder, and she was from the Ivory Coast, and we met in Toronto, and the interesting thing was that we would have never met had we not been on Tinder, because she lived in a different part of town than I did. Her English was functional, but not that strong. So we would have never really crossed paths normally. So it was only because we were desperately swiping on Tinder that we came across. And we really hit it off, really in a big way. Mm-hmm. And like right from the first moment we met. And then she had to go home suddenly to the Ivory Coast because of a death in the family. And then when she got there, she got embroiled in some family drama where her dad was telling her what to do with their life, and she passed the bar exam in the Ivory Coast and became, was articling to become a lawyer there, and she was only like 24, and it was really good. But it, all of the while, we were in this long distance relationship where I thought she was going to come back the next month, or the next month, or the next 2 months. And then there was even an incident where they almost descended into civil war again, and I'm like on the other side of the world and stuff. So
complicated.
Yeah, but you know, it was. It was working with the idea that she would one day come back. But then, you know, summer came and I met someone. And I told her, okay, well, we should... like, it was very clear between us that there was nothing serious, this person I met, but I really liked her. And then she said one day that she really liked me, and I was like, oh no, well, I was going to break up with you right when this other woman comes back, because I thought we said there was nothing serious between us. And then she's like, no, 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 I like you. So then I asked the other woman, and she was like, okay, next month, and I was like, no, okay, forget about it. And then she did come back almost right away, as soon as I started with the woman who I met in Toronto. Okay. But in any case, it was very challenging for me to not to be in a relationship when I was in the same physical space, because I guess that's just like a need I have, or like, or something that I place a lot of importance on, and yeah. That's a long story.
But, okay.
That's my kind of experience with long distance.
But it was not 100% clear that it's like you wanted to just see if it works, and maybe you both didn't know, like you were not 100% sure if.
Well, I thought it was gonna work when she came back, but it was more the issue that it kept getting put off and so on.
Okay, I see. Wow, interesting. I didn't know that about you. Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, I think it really has. Yeah, it really depends on the people and also where you're in life. Maybe would you say that it could work now for you?
No. I think it's
you're just not the kind of person for that.
Yeah. I think I've learned that it's not really for me. I would have to really be in love with someone to be able to make that kind of sacrifice, because I think it's not easy for me. Maybe it's possible, maybe anything's possible, and you can get used to anything, but it's because I know it's very difficult for me, then I think it would have to be it'd be a big sacrifice.
Okay. Yeah. Sacrifice, or maybe it doesn't feel like a sacrifice then, but now you think so. And is it does it really what kind of distance is too much for you, like is it like over the ocean? That's
over the ocean is pretty far.
Over the ocean is pretty far.
Other than that, like, I mean, I think obviously, like, Europe is a different place where you can be in a relationship with someone that's only a couple hours away pretty easily.
Yeah.
So, I mean, like, that is not as difficult, for sure, but it's still a challenge, I think. But it's not as difficult because there's the weekends, or you can make the trip in the evening or whatever, but it's still difficult because there's, you know, there's that gap.
And would you like to speak about your day every day with the person you're with?
I mean, well, I can definitely get you where it becomes monotonous.
Annoying.
But I think the one of the greatest qualities in a relationship or a partner is comfortable silence. And the ability to have comfortable silence. And if you don't really want to talk about your bullshit day that was you can still enjoy, you know, time with the other person regardless.
Once I had my religion teacher, he said, real love is when you walk on a beach and you don't have to talk. You just walk with your partner and you don't talk. It's just nice to to have the silence. And I thought, okay, yeah, but it was just weird because he said this because he was a weird person. And I think it's not possible with him walking somewhere and he's silent. But he's right.
Yeah.
Sometimes you can't stand the silence and it gets maybe, weird for you. I don't know. But a comfortable silence is a good word. Like, do you have sometimes the feeling you have to say something when it's silent?
No, I know a lot of people feel that way, but I never do. Or at least not anymore, I don't. Not these days. I can tell when other people do and they don't feel comfortable with the silence, but sometimes I'll say something just to try to make the other person feel more comfortable, like this is nice or whatever, you know, like that.
I can remember when I met the parents from my boyfriend, for example, and sometimes because they can't speak that well German, it was silent and I just wanted to say something and I was looking through the room. Okay, I really need to find like a topic now about which I can speak. And then I saw like the milk and I said, oh, I just like drinking milk.
Oh no, really? And what did they say?
Like this.
Yeah, a real conversation starter. There you go.
You know, and then, or when you sometimes are with colleagues or like your boss in an elevator, for example, and then you start to talk about the weather, and that's always annoying, I think.
Yeah, I feel you. I mean, I think we have this demand to be social a lot of the time, and it's like you have to be normal, you have to be social, you have to be cheery, you have to be bright, you have to be fun, you know, and if you're not, then you're weird or annoying or something. And I think it's like this demand that we place on ourselves, but really it's more weird or annoying to have to always fulfill arbitrary demands that don't really serve any purpose except for fooling other people or trying to fool other people to think we're someone or not.
And speaking about social, yeah, we have that program here in Lisbon, and I think it's also in, like, it's also in other countries. I saw it in Copenhagen, for example. It's called Speak Social, right? And it's about, would you like to just?
It's like about integrating refugees and migrants into the local population by improving their language skills. But it also has grown to just people in general improving their language skills by speaking with native speakers or people who are fluent. And it's for free. It's a free service and it's done voluntarily by teaching. And I think why Daniela brought it up was because I tried to join to teach some English, but it didn't work out with my schedule this summer, but hopefully it will in the fall.
All the people I met so far, they weren't refugees. They were just students or like people from Italy, for example, or from Brazil, who came here to work in Lisbon and they wanted to learn to speak Portuguese. So therefore they met there. But do you also think that some people use this just to learn how to speak with someone, not how to speak their language, but to learn how to speak.
It's a good question. I mean, it's entirely possible, but you've met more people in the company than I have, so I mean, I wouldn't know, but I think that that's an interesting observation.
Yeah. Okay. Also with, what is the name of, like, when you have dates and then you just go from table to table?
Oh, speed dating. Have you ever done that?
No.
I did it once.
Yes? Yeah.
It was one of the most exhilarating experiences of my entire life, like more than going on a roller coaster. And, and I don't usually get...
Going on a roller coaster is good.
I don't usually get nervous before dates, but I got really, really nervous.
Yeah.
And then I went on like 20 dates and like 40
minutes.
How come
that you went to the, like, was it a...
It was for fun. So it was a vegetarian and vegan speed dating. And I didn't meet anyone who was interested in me, which is okay. But anyway, it was a really exhilarating experience. And because you go on like 3 minute... There are 3 minute dates or something, or 2 minute dates or something. And there were 20 people. And like, so every 2 or 3 minutes they'd ring a bell. And then all the guys would get up and move one over. And
every 20 minutes?
No, every 2 minutes.
2 minutes. Two, okay.
Yeah, 2 or 3 minutes. And then there are 20 people. So there are 40 people. So 20 women and 20 guys.
Okay.
And you get up and move to the next person. And inevitably, like, some you get along with more and some you get along with less. So the most annoying thing is when they ring the bell, the guy in front of you doesn't want to move right away.
Yeah.
So then you're, like, getting up and then you're, like, still in the conversation with the person as you're waiting for this guy to move onwards in on to the next one. And then, of course, you want to talk more with some and less with others or whatever. And the age gap was pretty significant. The age range was pretty significant. Like, people up to their 50s and 60s and as low as...
Okay.
As low as their, like, early 20s, I guess.
But is it always the same conversation? Like, okay, oh, how come that you're here?
Yeah.
What are you doing? Are you still studying? Are you working here or something?
It can be. I mean, it depends on how it goes. Like, for example, I just off the top of my head, I remember someone who was studying film. So I asked her about what kind of films she liked or what the most recent films. And we talked about film for a little bit.
That's your, like, favorite topic, isn't it?
Films are a big favorite topic.
Because Will likes to talk about films,
like,
which is very
films.
Interesting.
Okay.
Yeah, like, I don't know that many films, you know.
Okay,
so sometimes but it's good to know more about that. Because I studied something with film, of course. It's interesting for me.
I don't think... I thought you studied theater
yeah,
science.
But my master was about...
Oh, really? Okay, okay. See, that I don't think I knew. Mm-hmm. And if I did, I forgot it.
Mm. Okay. Like, one of my video essays, it was about the combination or comparison from the both Hitchcock... like, from the Hitchcock movie Psycho and the newer one.
Okay.
And the image language. And
all right, interesting. And so what's the difference?
Well, you can see it online.
Wow.
The video, it has a lot of likes.
Okay.
Yeah, of course. I mean, can you remember that weird scene where
I've only seen the first one. I've only seen the Hitchcock one.
Ah, okay, just the first one. I'm very bad at names, so sorry that I forgot that, but in the second one there's that one comedian, actually. He plays in a lot of comedians now, comedy movies, and he's playing the main character.
Okay.
Yeah, and there's that scene where he is looking through the door to see the woman, like, getting naked, and he... he has a good time.
Yes.
And of course, in the old movie, you can't see it that well, but in the new one, you can see it.
Is that right?
Like, you can hear everything, and it's really
disturbing.
It's disturbing.
Okay.
Yeah, differences like that.
Yeah. Interesting.
Course.
Wow. Do you like disturbing films?
Well, depends on how disturbing. For example, that scene I didn't enjoy watching it. I would say.
No.
But actually, I love like psycho thriller and stuff mm-hmm. like that.
Yeah.
You?
Yeah, yeah, I really love disturbing movies, psychologically mm-hmm. disturbing movies, and conceptually disturbing movies. I think I mentioned to you once before, there's this great movie on Netflix called The Discovery, and it's about this guy, it's a fictional movie, mm-hmm. it's about the scientist who finds out that there's something after this life, after we die. He doesn't know what, he can't tell what it is, but he can tell, he has proved for sure that there's something after this life.
Uh-huh.
And but we don't know what it is. And there is a problem in the that happens afterwards where everyone starts killing themselves.
Uh-huh.
Because they're so unhappy with their lives, they don't care what's next, they just want to take the chance. So they're like, okay, whatever. Now that I know for sure something mm-hmm. is next, even who knows what it is,
yeah.
I'm going to get out, mm-hmm. out of it. And of course, he did not intend for this to happen. Mm-hmm. But now he has this problem to deal with. That he has one of the biggest scientific breakthroughs in the world, but now it's causing everyone to kill mm-hmm. themselves.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And how does the movie end?
Well, you have
everyone's
to
killing.
Find out.
Okay.
It's called The Discovery.
The Discovery, okay. And that reminds me of the movie, it's a French movie, Mature.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Do you know that one?
I don't think
I
do.
Maybe I told you. It's also about like a family, like a couple
yes.
who gets a lot of young women into their house
okay.
and they're torturing them. For example,
oh,
they
wow.
are like... putting their skin off,
oh, no.
and then they have that kind of moment before they're dying, but they're
yeah.
not dying.
Oh fuck!
And they can, they try to get like the answer, like okay, what, like do you have that tunnel view or what is
tunnel view?
Like you see the light at the end of
okay.
the tunnel.
Oh,
I mean,
yes, yes, yes.
and like, is there a life after death?
Mm.
And that just reminded me of that. But that was the most horrible movie
yes.
I've ever seen.
Sounds really horrible.
It's, yeah. Mm. I can't recommend it, so
okay.
please don't watch it.
Okay, okay.
But,
movies not to watch.
Yeah, yeah. French movies, I think, a lot of are a bit disturbing, I think.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. But that's my experience.
Okay. I like some French movies. One
yes.
of the, there was a really good one called Love,
mm-hmm.
and it's like 90% sex. The movie like is like almost
nice.
Entirely
mm-hmm.
just.
Can you
sex.
Recommend it?
I highly recommend it. It's a really beautiful film. It's not just a sexy film; it's like an art film, but it's a really beautiful. And it's about an American in Paris, and struggles with relationships and sex and love and finding yourself. And it's very beautiful. It's really
mm-hmm.
beautifully shot and written and stuff. I have, and it's extremely sexy. Like,
okay.
as sexy as it gets.
Okay.
So I think, and it's done by a very famous French director whose name I currently forget.
Mm-hmm. Is it about a couple or...
It's largely revolves around one relationship, but he has many relationships in the film.
Mm-hmm.
The main character.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Is it a famous actor?
It's the movie is famous, but that guy had never been in a movie before.
Okay.
And the director decided to choose someone to play the role who never acted seriously before as experimentation to try to make it really real.
Interesting. Yeah, I always think, how can you just play that in front of a lot of cameras?
Mm-hmm.
Like, don't you fall in love with that person when you're like so intimate
yeah, yeah,
with
yeah.
someone?
Exactly.
Like,
I
really
would,
have
if,
maybe,
if I was in the play, I probably would.
Yeah. Because, yeah. But you acted in your past, right?
Yes, but
so
almost
maybe,
as a kid, but yes.
Okay, yeah. I acted in one play, but it wasn't about... It was just a comedy.
Hmm.
So I can't tell how it is with
having
a love
scene. What was the comedy?
Mm. It was about like Christmas in May, and in Germany, in German,
mm-hmm.
it says like Weihnachten. It's
okay.
like May Christmas.
Okay.
Yeah, and it was like the play was, I don't know, 10 minutes. And
oh,
that's
yeah.
it, actually.
Really?
It was just a comedy, nothing
well,
to talk
sounds
about.
Interesting. It sounds funny.
Yeah. What was your play about?
Yeah, so, I mean, I was in a bunch of plays as a kid, like Rumpled Silk Skin and Noah's Ark and stuff.
Noah's Ark.
But, and Robin
Hood. What did you play in Noah's Ark?
I was the peacock. not a very major role in Noah's Ark, but I decided to put on a British accent for it, and I was I was really well received a long, long time ago. But since then, I was a performer of like slam poetry on stages for like 5 years. So that was mostly most of my stage performing career, but it's like a solo thing.
Which is very interesting because Flo, normally that guy who is in our podcast. He is organizing a lot of poetry slam events, and he does also poetry slam. So Flo here.
Okay, well, I should meet him or talk to
him. You won't meet Will, but it's nice to hear.
Yeah, definitely.
Okay, and you've never like, how do you feel more comfortable to be yourself and to do poetry slam, for example, or to act?
Yeah,
and to play the peacock, for example, play something you're not.
I think like poetry slam is what I feel most comfortable with, but so often I think the biggest challenge with performing as yourself is to actually be yourself and not invent some character to mask yourself with. And I think that's one of the biggest challenges of like being performing vulnerably or showing who you are. Is that actually like not accidentally putting on a voice, because that tends to happen out of fear. You put on a voice, or out of fear you write something that isn't you.
What do you mean you put on a voice? You
get up in front of a bunch of people, and all of a sudden your voice changes into something that you think is cool, and you start talking in a way that isn't how you'd normally talk.
Okay, and so you think real acting is like just to still be yourself in a way?
Well, I mean, poetry slam is a bit different, but like, it's more that it's embodying so with acting you're embodying a character, and with poetry slam you can embody a character, but I think part of the point is to not embody the character and then claim that that character is you, kind of thing. Is to you know, be able to move from yourself to other people instead of trying to use other characters to mask yourself. And a lot of the time that's the danger.
Interesting. Okay.
And what was your experience in acting?
I just thought, okay, I'm just playing someone else. But acting is actually, sometimes I think it was a bit weird to see in school, for example, some friends of mine in different roles. And I'm more the kind of person who just likes to be herself and like do radio or something like that. But it's interesting if other people can do this. I think it's not my talent.
Okay, fair enough. There's a great movie called... So have you ever heard of the movie Man on the Moon?
Yeah.
Okay. So there's a great movie about Jim Carrey and how he got into the role for Man on the Moon. And so he played this very eccentric, very odd, and legendary comedian. To get into the role, and they said that Jim Carrey was the only one who could ever play. Andy Kaufman was the name of the comedian, because it was such a bizarre story. And so there's now a documentary about how Jim Carrey got into the role of Andy Kaufman. It's called Andy and Me, and in it they're interviewing Jim Carrey, but Jim Carrey is in his role. He's in the role of Andy Kaufman, and he is talking about Jim Carrey. About what Andy Kaufman thinks about Jim Carrey, but it's
how
Jim Carrey.
Funny. Yeah.
And he's in the role, and he's so deep, and it's about his acting process and about getting into it and how he manages it and stuff.
Can you see? Can you watch it on Netflix or?
Yeah, it's on Netflix.
Okay,
I think it's maybe even on Netflix.
Funny, but I'm like, Jim Carrey is not making movies anymore, right?
He's
not.
No, he's painting these days.
He's painting.
Yeah, he's a painter. He does political art.
I didn't know about that.
Yeah, it's relatively new. He took a break, I think, from... Or he wasn't doing much acting. And then recently, I knew that he was painting because he had a studio near my brother's work in Manhattan. And then... but I never saw any of his paintings. And then, recently, he came out with some very political paintings, and he's become quite good mm-hmm. now. But I think that's his main thing these days, is painting.
Mm-hmm. Cool. A fact we didn't know. Mm. And I think, looking at the time, you just wanted to tell your song.
Right, so these days I just can't stop listening to Chevalier by Daniel Caesar. Daniel Caesar, Caesar spelled like Caesar, the Roman ruler. Chevalier, it's the French word Chevalier, I think. Great, great song, in my opinion.
Okay, cool. I thought you wanted to say, like, the Spider-Man theme song, but okay. Because we talked about this the last days. The 1960s theme song. But okay, I'll listen to that too. So thanks for...
It went by so fast. Yes. I thought it was like 5 minutes.
It was actually just 5 minutes, but I just thought maybe it's better to stop it now. Okay, but thanks. And yeah... Maybe see you again.
Yes, I'd love to.
Okay.
Okay.
Bye.
Bye. Thanks for having me.
Bier am Feierabend. Der Podcast.
VoiceRepublic.com. Home to the spoken word.